live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
Welcome to the Young Turks, Jing and Anna with you guys. So, you know, today is a special day. It is Bernie's birthday. He's going to be turning 79. We decided we're going to do a special for you guys. Is it really about Bernie's birthday? No, it's of course to celebrate the progressive movement. Also, to wish Bernie a happy birthday. But we got great guests for you guys. Nina Turner, Emma Vigeland, Ben Dixon, Brianna Wu, but also a special guest that you will be borderline shocked by. So that is at 7:30 tonight. So stay right here. We're going to stay public all the way throughout it. So you can just keep it here, as they used to say in the old days on TV. Also, an exclusive that I want to tell you guys about. But first, I got to pull a Mankiewicz. What's going on with this hair?
You're disheveled. What's going on?
I know, right?
You having a hard day?
No, I'm a mess.
You gotta police that hair. What is going on?
I'm doing the second announcement next segment. I'm gonna take time to recover. All right. Anyway, guys, much love. We got a giant show for you guys. Let's go to Anna. Let's start doing the news.
All right. Well, looks like there might be more turnover in the White House, which means it's for another episode of As the White House Turns.
Very big mistakes.
I asked for his resignation.
I'm disappointed in the Attorney General.
Donald Trump has been feuding with his acting defense secretary, Mark Esper. This has been going on for months. But now that Trump has made some pretty bad decisions that have backfired in the form of bipartisan criticism, he's decided to throw Esper under the bus and blame him for news of the administration attempting to defund Stars and Stripes. That's the military newspaper that we learned the Trump administration wanted to defund just last week. There was an outcry after that. And now Trump is changing his tune while also throwing someone who works for him, who he does not like, under a bus. That is my interpretation of this story. Let me give you the details. You guys can judge for yourselves. So White House officials spoke to NBC and they have talked to Veterans Affairs Secretary Robert Wilkie about taking the top Pentagon job should Trump decide to fire Esper. Two senior administration officials said Trump discussed the position directly with Wilkie at the White House last month. Two other senior administration officials said Wilkie had senior level discussions with the White House about becoming Trump's next defense secretary. Okay, so turnover is something Trump experiences quite a bit in his administration. What is the reason behind this? At least, what are the leakers within Trump's administration telling the press? Well, Esper, according to them, had been advised by multiple aides not to propose cutting the newspaper's funding, that's Stars and Stripes, because the move would draw political backlash. And it did, from Republicans and Democrats. And so Trump later changed his tone on this issue, saying the United States of America will not be cutting funding to Stars and Stripes magazine under my watch. It will continue to be a wonderful source of information to our great military. But I'm not buying for a second that this is the reason why Trump wants to replace Esper with someone else. As I mentioned, he's had all sorts of issues with Esper in the past. Let me give you just a few of them. In June, for instance, Esper told NBC News that he would not support using the Insurrection Act to quell civil unrest across the country, even though Trump was leaving open the possibility of invoking the law to deploy federalized troops to respond to the protests. Now, we covered that clash quite a bit on the show, but there are other examples. In June, for instance, Esper said he was open to the idea of naming, or renaming military bases named for Confederate soldiers. But days later, Trump issued a series of tweets denouncing the idea, writing that my administration will not even consider renaming these magnificent and fabled military installations. He followed that up with respect our military. And there are other issues as well. But Cenk, I don't know how you feel about this story. I'm just not buying for a second that it was Esper's idea to defund Stars and Stripes and that Trump was like, you know, this defiant one who's like, no, our troops love the magazine. Away with Esper. No, I think that this was like a controlled leak within the administration to like throw Esper under a bus, blame him for something, while also justifying the new turnover that we're about to see in the administration.
Yeah. So the machinations of who wanted to cut Stars and Stripes, I don't know, but it doesn't matter much in that particular case because Republicans want to cut everything, and they certainly want to cut everything related to media. And that's not just Trump, that's the entire Republican Party, all in service, obviously, of tax cuts for the rich and for corporations. So I think there are two main issues here. One is, why does Trump actually want to get rid of Esper? And on that note, there's no question you're right. It's an open and shut case. So yeah, Esper not being as racist as Trump is a problematic for Trump. He's like, oh, I love those Confederate general names. Oh, my racist base loves Confederacy, hates the Union. What was the other name for the Union? What, America? Whatever, we hate it, okay? We've got to make America great again by turning it into a Confederacy. And that was a smaller issue. The larger issue was the Insurrection Act, because that was right after the photo op where they all walked together after clearing the protesters and Trump held the Bible upside down. That photo op in Washington, D.C., Esper was there. And Esper came out afterwards when former Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis, General Jim Mattis, came out and said, remember, the military has to be separate from the civilians. And that was Mattis's way of saying, look, if this guy tries to not leave office, if he loses, don't make any mistakes here. You will ruin this country. And after that, Esper came out and said, yeah, no, we're not doing an Insurrection Act to use the military inside American borders if the governors didn't ask for it. There's no way. And so that's what sent Trump off. And he wanted to fire him on the spot. But everyone tackled him, all of his advisors. They're like, no, the election's around the corner. Don't fire your defense secretary, you look panicked. But the reality is, he looks panicked anyway. He's fired everyone in the building seven times over. I actually think his advisors are wrong. His own supporters and people who are barely paying attention to the race aren't going to care at all. It'll be his millionth fire, right? And right, all because they hurt his precious ego. So that's definitely the main issue here. And Esper's a dead man walking politically. So whether he fires him today or right after the election, as he did with Sessions after the midterms, he's definitely a goner. And ironically, Trump makes fun of him by calling him Yesper, apparently, because that's the nickname he got for being a yes man. But actually, Trump's furious at him for not being a yes man, for not doing everything that he's told. But Anna, I gotta say, the second giant issue here is Trump, as usual, has no idea what's going on inside his own government. He's like, we're canceling Stars and Stripes, not on my watch. Dude, you're 4 years into your term. It's on your watch. It's not like Obama or Jimmy Carter tried to do it. It's your administration. It's just every day you wake up and you sound surprised at what's happening inside your own government because you don't do any work. And you're a moron. So please stop acting surprised when your own administration does one thing after another after another.
Right. I mean, look, I don't personally read Stars and Stripes, and what I'm about to say is speculative, but I don't know whether or not Trump ordered defunding that magazine. What I do know is Donald Trump has made some moves that would unquestionably hurt troops and veterans. Remember, his administration is proposing cutting $2 billion in healthcare for our military and for our veterans. And so, is that the type of news that would make it in Stars and Stripes? Would that hurt him with his conservative base? So I think that Trump's assault on media overall gives you a pretty good idea of what he wants to do to censor content, especially any content that might not portray him in any type of favorable way. But again, I'm speculating. I don't know for a fact that Donald Trump is the one who ordered the defunding of Stars and Stripes. What I do know is that Mark Esper allegedly proposing that idea is not the reason why Donald Trump wants to get rid of him. He's had issues with him for a while now. And Cenk, to your point about calling him Yesper, in an interview, Trump said, and this is the last graphic, some people call him Yesper. I get along with him fine. He's fine. No, you don't get along with him fine. A person who gets along with someone doesn't needlessly make fun of their name. Like during an interview with the press.
Especially so. Trump, that he makes fun of people's names when he's about to fire them. And there was that great line I think it was McEnany, where she was like, when asked about whether Esper's gonna get fired, she said, the defense secretary is still the defense secretary.
Right.
In other words, I don't know, Trump might've already fired him on Twitter. I have no idea, and no one does. It's Trump 101 to blame, to make people do things, then blame it on them and throw them under the bus. And the idea that that he would be loyal to anyone, including his voters, is hilarious. He thinks loyalty is for suckers.
Yeah. Well, Trump is also a huge proponent of cancel culture, which is our next story. So let's get right into it. After spending four straight days emphasizing the so-called evils of cancel culture during the Republican National Convention, Trump is calling for the cancellation of a Fox News reporter who happened to report something that doesn't make him look so good. So this has to do with the story that was originally reported by The Atlantic, where Trump made a series of statements about the military, calling them suckers and losers, calling our fallen soldiers suckers and losers. After that story was published by The Atlantic, then The Washington Post published its own piece, and they had different sources who spoke to them. And then that reporting was further confirmed by a Fox News reporter by the name of Jennifer Griffin. Now, just as a quick refresher, here's what she had reported last week.
John, I've spoken with two senior U.S. officials who were on the trip to France who confirmed to me key details in the Atlantic article and the quotes attributed to the president. My source, a former Trump administration official, told me when the president spoke about the Vietnam War, he said it was a stupid war. Anyone who went was a sucker. The president would say about American veterans, what's in it for them? They don't make any money. The source said it was a character flaw of the president. He could not understand why someone would die for their country. Not worth it. Regarding the French trip to mark the end of World War I, according to this former official, the president was not in a good mood. French President Macron had said something that made him mad. He questioned why he had to go to two cemeteries. Why do I have to do two? His staff explained he could cancel, but he was warned they, the press, are going to kill you for this. The president was mad as a hornet when they did, according to this source. When asked if the president could have driven to the Ain Marne cemetery, this former official said confidently that there was not a security reason to not to drive to the cemetery, which was about 40 miles from Paris. Quote, the president drives a lot. The other world leaders drove to the cemeteries. He just didn't want to go. Regarding the president's July 4th military parade planning, during a planning session at the White House after seeing the Bastille Day parade in 2017, President Trump said regarding the inclusion of wounded guys, quote, that's not a good look. Americans don't like that. Regarding Senator McCain, the president, according to this source, just hated John McCain. He always asked, why do you see him as a hero? Two sources confirmed the president did not want the flags lowered after McCain died, but others in the White House ordered them at half mast. There was a standoff and then the president relented.
So Trump didn't like that. And as a result, he called for the firing of Jennifer Griffin in the form of a tweet. Let me read you the relevant part of that tweet where he says, Griffin should be fired for this kind of reporting. Never even called us for comment. Fox News is gone. I did check this morning and Fox News, in fact, is not gone. It is still on the air and Donald Trump loves cancel culture, probably more than any public figure I've ever seen.
Yeah. So if you go further right wing than Fox News, you're going to get into OANN territory where it's just conspiracy theories and QAnon nonsense. And so Fox News has the right wing audience locked up. But now there is a house divided there. And so this is the phenomenon that that others are not telling you about. And to me, it's super obvious what's happening. Roger Ailes has passed. He no longer controls Fox News. He used to control it with a hammer and with overwhelming sexual assault. And he was a gross, odious character. There was nothing he wouldn't sink to, and everyone in the building knew it. So you didn't cross Roger Ailes, otherwise he would destroy you, whether you didn't sleep with him or you said something he wasn't in favor of on air. And so now without him there, there's just normal executives running it. And so some of them are trying to run it as a news organization. Ailes would have laughed and laughed. He's like, no, you schmucks. The whole point was to do propaganda for Republicans and Neanderthals. It's not to do news. We put news in the title to trick people, you morons. Why do you think we called it fair and balanced when we loaded it up with O'Reilly and Hannity and all those others? Now, people forgot what Ailes was trying to do. So some of them still remain, the old guard, Hannity and Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham, et cetera, and they're still trying to do propaganda. Meanwhile, you got other people who are caught in between, like Bret Baier, is like, well, I don't think we should cancel Griffin, should we? That's a reporter. I'm a reporter, kind of. And you got Chris Wallace, et cetera. And then you have a couple of real reporters there. So they've lost their bearings. They were built to do propaganda. So when Griffin, you know, if Roger Ailes was still running Fox News, guaranteed Griffin either would not have been allowed to say that on air, or she actually would have been fired.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting theory. I also think that the conservatives on Fox News represent an old-timey type of conservative. Right now, the Republican Party has been overtaken by QAnon conspiracy theorists, people who don't care about evidence, don't care about logic, are not rational in any way. And I do think that people who work at Fox, I'm not saying every single host, Hannity certainly loves Trump, but I think the majority of right wingers who work at Fox despise Trump and are horrified with Trump. And so every once in a while, we do see them taking some justified jabs at Trump, and they pay the consequence with Trump's wrath, with his supporters going after them. But I do give Jennifer Griffin a lot of credit, because Trump has been directing all of his supporters to start harassing her. He's calling for her to get fired. Luckily, Bret Baier did stand up and call out Trump for his hypocrisy on all of this, including the notion of cancel culture. So let's take a quick look at that.
Have you ever heard the president use any of that language about veterans dead or alive?
I've been with the president to Arlington on Memorial Day. Let me tell you, I've listened to him there. I've watched him go visit sites there. I've been with him to the anniversary of World War II. It was a very emotional experience. So, no, quite the contrary. I think this president has enormous respect for the military.
Well, the president also says he's against the cancel culture. But do you think it's right for him to call for the firing of a reporter who has unnamed sources who confirm parts of that story?
Brad, I really don't know anything about that, so it's just not something I can comment on.
Okay, well, he's tweeted about it, and obviously he says that he wants a reporter who happens to work here at Fox fired.
I've been busy on economic issues, to be honest with you. I focus on a lot of things, and as I said, on the military, I've always heard him to be 150% supportive. I'm just not aware of the issues that you're talking about.
I like that Mnuchin likes to confuse working on the economy with robbing the American people of their resources and paying myself and my buddies. But anyway, that's beside the point. Yeah, Donald Trump is a hypocrite. Of course he loves cancel culture. He's been in favor of cancel culture from the second he started campaigning. He's been advocating for all sorts of punishment toward reporters who don't just simply spew out pro-Trump propaganda. This is just another example of it. And by the way, Griffin 100% stands by her reporting and said that two of her sources are actually were top level Trump administration officials. So obviously these are sources who spoke to her anonymously, not obviously not anonymous to her, but they did not want their names to be revealed because we're dealing with an incredibly dangerous political climate. We're seeing it play out in the streets right now. So on one hand, I can understand why they would want to remain anonymous. On the other hand, I would have preferred for them to go on the record as well with their names. So any type of, I mean, look, I don't know, Cenk. I don't think that this story matters to anyone that it should matter to, right? Like, I don't think that his supporters care. I think that his supporters are going to support him no matter what. I don't think they would care if they caught him on camera or in some audio recording calling fallen soldiers suckers and losers. I think that they would immediately change their minds and say, yeah, yeah, you know what? Fallen soldiers, suckers and losers. We agree. 100%, I think that's what would happen.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But so look, there is some number between 28 and 35% of the country that Trump could literally kill someone on Fifth Avenue and they wouldn't care at all, at all. They'd be like, oh, good, the fascism has begun. That we'll get to retain our power over minorities and brown people, et cetera. Yes, I think that's a third of the country, and that's totally depressing. But there is some percentage in the middle that is a small number, but really, really, really important because they seem to decide elections. And they do swing, and they swing in ways that we can't even quite understand because they consume such little news. So, like, the reason I say we can't understand is because you're saying, the jury's in on Trump. How could you not know? How could you not know? But remember, they just don't watch the news almost at all. So they're getting into bits and pieces and from only select news store outlets. That's why Fox breaking ranks makes such a big difference. Look, the mainstream press already sucks. So do they ever point out the hypocrisy of not just Trump, but all Republicans on cancel culture? Literally never, never. So they're like, oh, I can't believe how the left wants to cancel poor Ben Shapiro's $500,000 speech. Oh, my God. Oh, we're all crying. Right. And no one ever says, hey, guys, you ask for people to be fired all the time. You ask for professors to be fired. You ask for reporters to be fired. You ask for scientists to be fired. The Republicans created cancel culture. They love cancel culture. No mainstream media outlet ever says that because they're scared of their own shadow. Oh, Republican voters are going to say I'm a bad guy, right? So when Bret Baier says, hey, that's hypocritical, first of all, he's breaking the bubble of the Fox News viewers that have some small percentage who are still have a chance of voting independently and are not MAGA. And secondly, he's actually the only one in media at this point other than us going, hey, you idiots. Trump is the king of cancel culture. And he's certainly not saying it that way, but that was enough there. The others, I don't see them ever saying it. So I think it does matter. I think that in terms of the veterans, MAGA guys will turn on a dime. You're 100% right. If it's on tape, they'll say, oh, yeah, every veteran is an idiot and a loser. Well, hey, you're a veteran. I mean, whatever, dude, whatever. Yeah, I'm an idiot and a loser. I love Trump. I love Trump. I hate brown people. So, yes, that's a third of the country. But for the folks in the middle, if they really actually believe that Donald Trump thinks that wounded soldiers and our fallen soldiers were losers and suckers, well, if that doesn't make a difference, I guess then I would say you're right, that whatever the percentage of vote he's going to get, they were totally and utterly immovable.
And, you know, one other thing I wanted to just quickly mention is the fact that some very relevant people have chosen to remain silent when it comes to this story, notably John Kelly. So his former chief of staff, The Atlantic reported that Trump accompanied Kelly, who was then the Homeland Security Secretary at the time, to Arlington National Cemetery on Memorial Day 2017, while standing at the grave of Kelly's son, who was killed in Afghanistan in 2010, Trump reportedly turned to Kelly and said, I don't get it. What's in it for them? So, Of course, people are like, is Kelly going to say anything about this? And the fact that he hasn't denied it, I think, is relevant. Same with Jim Mattis. Jim Mattis has also refused to issue any type of statement.
So look, that quote could not have come from almost anyone but John Kelly. How many people were standing next to John Kelly's son's grave other than Kelly and Trump? There could have only been one or two other people there. So John Kelly, grow a pair. Normal tradition says you don't talk. We're having a conversation about normal tradition. Fascists are about to take over the country. They don't care about our veterans. They don't care about the poor. They don't care about the needy. They don't care about the middle class. They don't care about anybody but people that go to Mar-a-Lago. And you're worried about normal tradition and you upholding it? Does Trump look like he's upholding any normal tradition? He basically spat on your son's grave. Are you going to do something about it? Or just going to sit there like a schmuck?
Looks like he's going to sit there like a schmuck. So something to think about while we go to break. When we come back, we have some updates on right-wing extremism in the country and some of the acts that they engaged in over the weekend. And later in the show, we'll also discuss how Louis DeJoy broke the law, possibly, through how he raised money for Republican candidates. We'll be right back.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Jake Huger, Anna Kasparian, or welcome back. First things first, we've got an exclusive. Jim Carrey is releasing his latest art right here. I love these art pieces. This was called "You're the Caretaker, Mr. Trump. You've always been the caretaker." So it's an homage to The Shining, Stanley Kubrick's version, of course. And in that, if you guys, if you know the movie, it's about American imperialism, among other things, the genocide of Native Americans, the Holocaust. And Carrey basically is noting that that same darkness has arisen again and is terrorizing our society. And Hitler was a frustrated artist. Trump basically is a frustrated guy overall. But a guy who thinks that he's a self-made billionaire, but obviously he isn't. He was exposed as a fraud. So he's got all that resentment and self-loathing brewing inside of him. So he becomes a good host for this evil, if you will. And unfortunately, in this analogy, America's the new Overlook Hotel, whose slaughtered phantoms have come back to haunt it. So the rampage has begun. But we're hoping, like at the end of The Shining, that they've got Donnie frozen in a drift here, Deadly Donnie. And maybe Jim Carrey will have that cartoon after the election. Let's cross our fingers that it does wind up that way. And so that's a powerful image, and I'm sure MAGA will cry about it. Oh, how could you say that about the president? The president is so nice to everyone else and always follows decorum. How could you make a mean cartoon of him? So I love it, and I'm glad that Jim Carrey is revealing it here exclusively on the Young Turks. It's wonderful to see. By the way, I have his new book out, and I'm reading it, and it's great. It's amazing stories. They did it in a really interesting way, unique way. He did it with his co-author, Dana Vachon. It's called Memoirs and Misinformation. Okay, there you have it. Oh, we've got a graphic of it. Excellent. So it gives you an insight into Hollywood, not necessarily a pleasant one. He did it in a kind of a fictionalized way, but it really gets the point across, and it really is wild. So you should check that out. I'm lucky. He was wonderful enough to send it to us. He actually did a cartoon of us inside the book that he sent, and it says, to Cenk and Anna and all at TYT, thanks for all of your wisdom and discernment. Here's to the birth of a new nation. Bear down, Jim. So that's wonderful.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, I mean, you could have helped a sister out. Like, you didn't have to do me that dirty, but I got it. Thank you. No, I appreciate
that's the
it.
Style. It's the style.
No. I like looking like a monster. It's fun. No, but seriously, like, it's awesome. It was like, I showed my partner that picture, and his head exploded because he's like, he's the number one Jim Carrey fan. He quotes Jim Carrey movies all day, every day. So I felt really cool.
Yeah, no. My best friend went berserk and he's like, just retire. It's not going to get any better.
He's probably right.
Anyways, thank you to Jim Carrey. Everybody check out his art. It's great. And everybody check out Memoirs of Misinformation. All right. Now, on to you guys real quick, because we had to tell you about that. I just want to answer one question from our members. Aqua Lad writes in, why are there so many acting positions in the Trump administration? I understand it's because so many people quit or get fired, but why does he seemingly keep them as acting staff rather than just giving them the position? No, it's not that a lot of people quit. It's mostly that he fires them. He makes them do something, then he fires them, throws them under the bus. But the reason why he brings in new people to be acting heads is because he, at this point, is going to have a ton of trouble getting certainly anyone he wants confirmed by the Senate, because he wants his dog catcher, a guy who will be loyal to him, a guy who just got let out of prison because he got pardoned, like a mafia thug, etc. And even Republican senators are like, oh, he can't confirm that guy. He's killed three people, right? So anyway, that's why you have all those acting secretaries. Quick shout out to people who just signed up on YouTube. You can hit the join button to sign up. Love you guys. Guitarist Chris, Brian Wright, Sherry Creary, Stash Anderson, Marie Lewis, Levi Chaconas, Giselle Schmidt, and Fernando Cardoso. You guys are amazing. And last one's from YouTube Super Chat. Peter Hamby says, I want to say, without Bernie Sanders, we wouldn't have a strengthening progressive movement. But I can't forget about TYT, another progressive platform. 79 years of a powerful catamount. Hashtag happy birthday, Bernie. So we're doing the special. It's in about an hour. It starts at 7:30 Eastern. It goes for 2.5 hours. And there's an amazing special guest who's also going to wish Bernie a happy birthday. So don't miss a minute of it. Anna, what's next?
All right. Unfortunately, violence by right-wing extremists continued over the weekend, again in Oregon, this time in Salem to be specific. Now, these pro-Trump extremists got together for one of these Trump parades / rallies, and unfortunately, they clashed with a small group of Black Lives Matter demonstrators. And just to give you a sense of what the scene looked like and just how violent they were, let's take a look at this video. You can see them going after BLM protesters. They're running after them. They're hitting them with weapons. You see one man fall to the ground as he's being punched repeatedly by a, I believe, a member of Proud Boys, to be specific, Proud Boys. And so, yeah, this is a common scene now where you'll see the right wing serve as the aggressors after punching him several times, after he's on the ground, they pepper spray him. And they can do it with no worry of consequences, because what did the cops do? Was there an arrest? Were there any consequences for what happened? Well, let me give you some details and I'll give you the update on what we know so far. So the far right group also fired paint gun pellets at Black Lives Matter counter protesters who dispersed shortly after police arrived. One man was seen hit in the back of the head with a baseball bat and knocked to the ground. That was the video you just saw, after being rushed by a group of Proud Boys in a video posted on Twitter by Oregon Public broadcasting reporter Sergio Olmos. Now, Sergio Olmos also gave people an update on what happened with the police. And the police did show up and did seem to detain members of the Proud Boys. But eventually, it turned out that no one was actually arrested. No one was taken into custody. So here are the cops. They're kind of breaking up the violence. And you can see in this in the video that you know, they're standing there, they're talking to police. It looks like they're about to be detained and put in custody. But afterwards, police did have a chat with the arrested suspects and ultimately decided to let them go.
Yeah.
So there's another element to this story, but Cenk, jump in.
Yeah. No, they look like they're best friends. And later, you see a video of one of those guys released and hugging it out with his fellow Proud Boys. In other words, green light, guys. We could, yeah, there they are. Yep. See, released, no problem at all. Basically, cops gave us a green light. Go be fascist vigilantes and assault left-wing protesters. No consequences at all. At one point in that video, in the second video, it sounds like one of the Proud Boys goes, "Hey, don't worry, we're the good guys," to the cops. Now, are they actually good guys? No, you saw the video. They assaulted people, one with a bat and the other one, you know, pummeling a guy. The third guy being pushed down, that's when the cops saw it. The cops saw it with their own eyes. Now, imagine a bunch of black guys bum rush a white guy in front of the cops. They'd be lucky to walk out alive. You think the cops are going to sweet talk them later and just release them on their own volition? No way. No one believes that. If you're a MAGA guy, you're laughing because you know, we'll lock up the black people and the cops are actually on our side. You know that. Everybody knows that, right? So I mean, it's sick. It's gross. No, this is exactly what fascism looks like. So we do a protest, and they just come in and now start. Kyle Rittenhouse killed people. These guys are assaulting people brazenly. No consequences for these guys at all. It's grotesque. And if people aren't arrested and brought in and charged on this, every cop involved should be fired, and their manager and their manager's manager should definitely be fired.
Well, they won't, and they won't get fired for refusing to arrest people. In fact, I mean, just to juxtapose what we just saw and the lack of consequences for the violence that we just experienced in that video, just consider how many protesters, not just in Portland, but throughout the country, were arrested simply for demonstrating past curfew, not engaging in any type of violence, not engaging in any type of property destruction, nothing. They're just out past curfew demonstrating, and there were mass arrests in Washington, D.C. So Donald Trump could go do his ridiculous photo op where he was holding a Bible upside down. As you guys know, there was a curfew, but the curfew hadn't been implemented yet, and there were already mass arrests 20 minutes before curfew. People were rounded up. You saw the federal police go after the protesters aggressively. And so we can juxtapose it all day. I mean, we've seen how the police have treated peaceful protesters. In New York, the New York PD ran over protesters with one of their SUV vehicles. I mean, we saw all of that. But when it comes to right-wing extremists who show up heavily armed and say that they're there to carry out vigilantism, totally fine, no consequences. In fact, they're so transparent about their viciousness, about their violence, they even just openly call for murder of their political opponents. And so here is a member of the same group, the Proud Boys, arguing that, Democrats should be murdered openly with a microphone. Take a look.
In your own state, in the nation, we have said all this LGBT agenda, pedophilia is next. And they told us we were crazy. They told us we were homophobic. But the God's honest truth is, this pedophilia agenda is being normalized, and it's being pushed forward. And I'm a God-fearing man, but I think these Democratic leaders who allow this to happen need to be shot dead in the street.
So this is again in Salem, Oregon, and he's calling for the murder of Democratic leadership, and he's weaponizing pedophilia and child sex trafficking as a justification for calling for murder. So this is taken over the Republican electorate. Unfortunately, the whole QAnon conspiracy theory has snowballed into something far greater. It means different things to different people. But at the heart of QAnon is this notion that people in positions of power, specifically Democrats, are in cahoots on child sex trafficking, and Trump is trying to defeat them. He's trying to do something about it. So that's the underlying issue. And it's become illustrative of what many Republican voters believe and are fueled by. It's devastating to see this happen, because at this point, you're not even dealing with people who have any interest in evidence or in a rational debate or discussion, right? They believe crazy things, and there's really no way to convince them otherwise. And so, yeah, it's dangerous, and no one's doing anything about it. Like, the cops are like, oh yeah, have at it, have fun, go ahead and abuse people out in the streets, and it's totally fine.
Yeah, if a Muslim American called for the killing of Republican politicians, there's not a single person in the country who doesn't think they wouldn't be arrested immediately, rounded up. And there'd be right now conversations on Fox News about how he shouldn't have any rights. He should be stripped of all of his constitutional rights. That's literally what Lindsey Graham and Republicans pushed for even before Trump was elected. So, but right wingers can threaten to kill anyone and they get away with it. Why? Because and a lot of you, some on the left and certainly in minority groups, will say that we're late to the party and we were naive, and maybe so. But it turns out giant chunks of our police are fascists. And so they totally allow the fascism to happen. They don't enforce the rule of law at all. They do it selectively. If you're on the left or if you're black, they're going to arrest you even before there's any violations. If you're on the right and you assault people right in front of their eyes, they don't care. They're going to let you go. If you murder people and you've got an automatic weapon on you, they're going to let you stroll up to their car and treat you like a buddy. That like he did with Kyle Rittenhouse. If you call for the murder of Democratic politicians, they're not going to bother taking any action. And this is in Oregon, a blue state. So, I mean, if we don't change the culture of policing, at some point, some fascist who's smarter than Trump is going to come in and use them to crush us all. So, guys, think about it. This is the most important part. If Trump wins re-election, I'm going to guarantee you that this is what happens. It is already happening. The Democratic Party is, you know, historically weak, the weakest party that anybody has ever seen. And so they'll get steamrolled in a second, and there literally actually isn't much for them to do. So what'll happen is they'll send more vigilantes to assault us and murder us, and they'll be above the law. And eventually the left will fight back, right? And because the cops, they see, oh, the cops are letting him kill us. The cops are letting them beat us up. And the cops are helping them and participating in it. Okay, then I'm going to bring a weapon. Because the country got over 300 million guns. You think the left wing doesn't have guns? Of course they have guns. I don't want them to bring it. I think that's a terrible idea. But eventually they're going to bring it. And eventually, if Trump wins re-election, I'm not joking, it's not hyperbole, there will be mass shootouts in the streets. And then do you think that the law enforcement will then act appropriately? Hell no. They will only arrest the left wingers and put them in Guantanamo. They'll arrest all the political opponents. They'll arrest anyone who's ever known anyone associated with the people doing violence on the left. And they'll let the right wingers go. And boom, we're a fascist country. It's not hyperbole. It's happening right in front of your eyes right now. If Trump wins and they get another 4 years of this, this country is over.
When we come back from the break, I'll share the story of how Louis DeJoy might have broken federal and state laws in how he fundraised for Republican candidates. We'll be right back.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's ExpressVPN.com/TYT. Check it out today.
All right, back on Young Turks, checking out with you guys. You know our sponsor, Aspiration, is awesome. When you sign up for an account, they plant 10 trees. It's a huge Aspiration forest now, and we're going to be drawing the winner of the Zoom e-scooter soon as well. So go to aspiration.com/TYT to participate. Let me go to the thermometer real quick here. TYT.com/go. We haven't gotten a thermometer in a while. So this is, among other things, so we can compete with the right-wing message machine. The billionaires fund them to the tune of tens of millions of dollars every year. You guys are what we have. So TYT.com/go. It's at 33,000 now. Let's see if we can get it to, I mean, we got a special today, too. I mean, I'd love to get it to 40,000. That'd be great. Thank you, guys. In the Ethernet writes in, I see Proud Boys cruising around my town in their trucks. Feels like things are about to pop. It's unsettling, and they're being encouraged and empowered in a way that allows them to do the dirty work for the government and the cops. Trump and his supporters love it. It's scary. Yeah, that's how the brown shirts worked in Nazi Germany. That's always how it works. They get the vigilantes to do it, and they say, well, I didn't do it. And it's basically them sanctioning. Mary Lewis just signed up on YouTube. Obi Mom Kenobi just gifted her 557th sub to our channel on Twitch. It's amazing. Hottie Meter gifted 5 subs to our viewers. We love you guys for it. And I'm just going to by the way, Michael Adante says, I'm grabbing the book here. Will there be an ebook version of the original Young Turk? I'm not sure, but you can get it right now at shoptyt.com, my dad's book. There should be an audio version too. Anyway, you'll love it. It's great, great stories. Get it at shoptyt.com. All right, what's next?
All right. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy is being investigated because it's now alleged that he was involved in a fundraising scheme that broke not only state laws, but also federal campaign finance laws. Now, the Washington Post looked into this story and gave us the details. Let me now share those details with you. According to 5 people who worked for DeJoy's former business, New Breed Logistics, which has a super strange name, they say that they were urged by DeJoy's aides or by the chief executive himself to write checks and attend fundraisers at his 15,000 square foot gated mansion beside a Greensboro, North Carolina country club. There, events for Republicans running for the White House and Congress routinely fetched $100,000 or more apiece. To other employees familiar with New Breed's financial and payroll systems, said DeJoy would instruct that bonus payments to staffers be boosted to help defray the cost of their contributions, an arrangement that would be unlawful. So as we know, there are still some laws that limit the amount of money that can be spent on political candidates. And so what DeJoy allegedly did, based on what his former employees are alleging, is pressure them into giving donations to Republican candidates, and then he would pay them back in the form of bonuses. Now, there are some people who actually went on the record to share information about this. David Young is one of them. He was actually the head of HR when he was working for New Breed, and he worked for DeJoy for quite a long time, from the late 1990s to 2013. Here's a direct quote from Young. He says, Lewis was a national fundraiser for the Republican Party. He asked employees for money. He gave, we gave him the money, and then he reciprocated by giving us big bonuses. When we got our houses, or I'm sorry, when we got our bonuses, let's just say they were bigger. They exceeded expectations, and that covered the tax and everything else. Right now, you can't do this. You can't pressure people, including your own employees, to make donations and then pay them back later through the form of bonuses or increased pay. This not only breaks election laws in North Carolina, it also breaks federal campaign finance laws. But there is a statute of limitations when it comes to the federal law, no statute of limitations when it comes to the state law in North Carolina.
Okay, so it appears that there's no question he did it. That's the head of human resources. If anybody would know, the head of human resources would know. Yeah, we give the money and then he gives it back to us in bonuses. End of discussion. He should already be arrested. Look, I give time for the investigators to do their own investigation, obviously confirm what the Washington Post has written, talk to these folks, etc. But this is a crime that Republicans have been arrested for before. That's how serious it is. Dinesh D'Souza went to jail for this.
Right. And
so you can't have straw men giving money on your behalf to avoid legal limits on campaign donations. There's actually a million ways to get around those legal limits, but apparently DeJoy was too lazy to do that. So he set up these straw men to do it. They have all these different sources inside the company saying it. But now, if you're still not convinced, let me give you some facts that the Washington Post uncovered that make it crystal clear. So in the time that DeJoy was doing this at his company, between 2000 and 2014, his employees happened to give over $1 million to Republican politicians. How much did they give to Democrats at the same time? Because look, any company of Republicans, Democrats, so did they only give $500,000? Wow, that'd be a giant disparity. That'd be 2 to 1. Did they only give $250,000? 4 to 1? No. They gave $700 to Democrats in that same time. Okay, you say maybe it's just a company riddled with Republicans. Okay, so DeJoy supports Giuliani's presidential campaign. He was probably the only one to do so. This was about 8 years ago now. And Giuliani's campaign was miserable. It didn't finish better than fifth anywhere. So he was hard pressed to get any donations. But on the same day, coincidentally, Giuliani winds up raising $27,000 from New Breed Logistics employees. What an amazing coincidence. And then on another day, he raises $40,000 from the employees. Overall, he raises $85,000 from DeJoy's employees. When he is not even registering as a candidate, but DeJoy is doing fundraisers for him and his buddies with him. Now, let's take another Republican at the same time. At the same time, there were two other people who gave money to Ron Paul. You know how much he got? $550. See, that's what happens organically. When your boss says, you better give this money, okay, and don't worry, I'll funnel it back to you. That is deeply illegal, and most people do it because otherwise they're going to be fired. He should be arrested if we have any rule of law left in this country at all.
Now, Donald Trump says, you know, if he did it, he should be investigated, he should pay the consequences. But we know what Donald Trump does for his buddies. Once they are found guilty, once they are convicted, he'll go out of his way to ensure that they're pardoned. So I don't put a lot of weight behind anything Donald Trump says, especially when it comes to criminality, because he's a criminal himself. But one other thing I wanted to mention is that there's a very specific reason why DeJoy does things like this. I mean, first of all, he wouldn't be named as a Postmaster General had he not given Donald Trump a significant amount of money, millions of dollars in campaign donations. Also, he's gotten favors in the past. As DeJoy's profile as a Republican bundler grew, his wife won presidential and gubernatorial appointments, first as an ambassador to Estonia in 2004, then as head of North Carolina's Health and Human Services Agency in 2013. This kind of stuff pays off, and Trump appointed her to be ambassador to Canada. And this is what you get. We get a government that doesn't actually represent our best interests, but of course, hands out goodies and favors to their donors like Louis DeJoy. So in the postgame, go ahead, Cenk. We have limited time.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So the last thing is, Democrats also do the ambassador shtick, and it is terrible. Stop giving away important government positions to people who bribed you. Okay, postgame is live and free, available to everyone. Stay right here, share and like the stream. We got Cardi B versus Candace Owens. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.